Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Experience the excitement of Houston Astros playoff baseball right here on ESPN Houston. Game 2 against the Chicago White Sox starts today at 1. Now back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Old friend of the show, Allison Footer, joining us right now, executive editor, national content for MLB.com, to talk some Astros and the rest of the playoffs. Allison, what's up?
Exciting. This is three times in 1 year.
How about that? So is this your favorite four playoff games in one day? Is that the best or is that the worst?
Oh, it's the best. I mean, it's like it just starts at 1 and it'll go until 11 at night, and it's exciting. If you're a baseball fan, then this would be definitely like your favorite day of the playoffs. And it's still early, you know, so it's not like anybody's like taking a commanding lead of anything. And you know, I mean, from a national baseball standpoint, I mean, everybody needed the Dodgers and Giants to be playing this division series, right? So, and that's going to be the last game of the day. So I just love it.
So how would you change the wild card? Is it fair that 106 win teams play a 107 win team?
No, I do not like the one game format because reminds me too much of football. You know, you play 162 games, and you should have an opportunity to play more than one to be able to stay in the postseason. It's just that's the way the game is built. You might have one bad pitching performance. You should have, you know, a couple tries at it. I get the drama of it. I mean, trust me, like, just going down to the wire during the regular season to watch that whole thing play out on the last day of the season between those American League teams. I mean, there is an element of drama that you can't recreate if you make it like a three-game series. But that's always been my contention. I have stuck with that from the very day that they started this format. I just think it needs to be just tweaked a little bit. I do like the fact that you have to kind of play your way in. But there's going to be times when 106 wins team, you know, 106 wins is not enough. This doesn't happen all that often. And that NL West was absolutely fascinating to watch that whole thing play out. We thought it was going to be the Padres and the Dodgers duking it out. And the Giants were all like, well, they're going to be a first half team. You know, they have older players and their starting staff is, you can't really name more than a couple guys. And I mean, look what they've done. So I'm not doubting them anymore.
Yeah. I still don't get how they, I mean, it's one of the biggest surprises I think we've seen in baseball in a while, how good this Giants team basically out of nowhere. Usually in baseball, you know who the good teams are going to be. And the Giants basically came out of nowhere.
Yeah, especially since they're doing it with a lot of players that helped them win World Series in the past, and it's been a few years since they won their last World Series. So, you know, you still got, like, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, Buster Posey. You know, when teams get old together, I mean, that's never a formula for success. Like, it's never worked. And that's, I'm not saying that they're all, you know, getting older. I mean, they have replenished, and there are pockets of the team that are young and that they develop themselves. But the starting rotation was what concerned me at the beginning of the season, because it was like kind of retreads from other organizations that were, you know, decent, that had a couple okay years. But you know what? The Giants, they're locked in. They if you can unlock something in one of these pitchers, you know, they have a fabulous coaching staff and they have a wonderful analytics team. And whatever they did, they found the magic formula. And their general manager, he did a really good job.
Allison, Danny Vietti, who is a host of Wake and Rake podcast. He also does some stuff for CBS Sports, MLB. He had a tweet yesterday that said, in 2018, the Astros had a rotation of Verlander, Cole, Keuchel, Morton, McCullers. Was Keuchel there in 18?
Keuchel was there in 18, wasn't he?
Was he? Was it after 18 that he left? Yeah, I think
Won the Cy, and he won the Cy Young in 17, right?
No, 15.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, 15 was his Cy. I was thinking he was gone, but he said, Keuchel, Charlie Morton, McCullers Jr., they have since, actually, this should say, I don't know that Charlie Morton was there in 18. Didn't he leave right after?
Yeah,
okay, all right, so he's right. He said, They have since lost and replaced four of those five starters. Three of the replacements came from within their own farm system. They had the second best ERA in the AL this year. It is very strange indeed that we see the Astros at the bottom of the Baseball America farm team rankings. And I get it, you know, the depth of the system. But that tweet is 100% accurate, and it does speak to what they've been able to do. And here's Jake Myers. Here's Yordan Alvarez from the system. Of course, they traded for Yordan, but developed inside the system. And look at these guys step up and make a difference. I mean, that's ultimately why they can sustain this run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that we all know how the cycle works. And, you know, they did take a step back this year. I mean, they only won like 95 games. I mean, they, you know, they won 100 for however many years in a row. It's okay. I mean, those are things that are going to happen. You regress a little bit. But yeah, they've always been good at developing talent, and they can identify talent that they want to draft early. And that's just kind of how different it is today than it was 15 years ago. It's like you're so much better at being able to even identify the guys that you want to get into your organization. And no, I never had any doubts about what they would be able to do for a couple of years after like that real core started breaking up a little bit. You don't necessarily have to break the entire thing down over and over again. You know, you can be a Cardinals, you can be, you know, I mean, maybe not the Dodgers with all the money they have, but the Brewers. I mean, you can reinvent yourself. And if you're scouting properly and you're drafting properly, then you can keep turning out the talent. And the Astros have always been lauded for inside the industry for what they're able to do. But, yeah, they had to get rid of, like, a ton of guys. Look, they lopped off the top of their farm system to get Zach Greinke. So far, none of those guys are doing anything to set the world on fire. It's still early. But it's just a crapshoot, as we know, when you do that stuff.
So are they good enough? Because usually it's, you know, two unbelievable horses, or at least one, you know, Scherzer or, you know, Kershaw or whatever at the top of the rotation. Are they good enough with McCullers and Fromber at the top of this rotation?
I think they're good enough to win the division series. I would be less than honest if I said that they're going to be fine in the 7-game series. I do think that by the time you get to a 7-game series, then some of your vulnerabilities are going to be exploited, and it depends on, you know, getting a little bit of luck also helps. You know, the White Sox, everyone, a lot of people just kind of thought that they were going to be the team to make a huge run, and I'm sitting here like I'm on the editing team for the series, and I'm like going through and, you know, talking it out. It's like, well, they really just have you know, Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito as far as, like, you know, fully healthy and ready to go. And Lance Lynn's always been terrible in Houston. You know, Tony La Russa didn't have a lot of options. He had to either pitch him yesterday or he's going to pitch him today. What he needed to do was to be able to pitch him in Chicago, where he pitches really well. And that wasn't even an option because they don't know about Carlos Rodon. I mean, they just have questions. So I believe that the Astros can absolutely, like, outlast the White Sox in this series, and I think that they're going to. I think that if they get the Rays and the ALCS, I mean, that's going to be a huge challenge. That is one of the most complete teams in baseball. The Astros' vulnerability is the bullpen. As you saw last night, things were rolling, and then the White Sox started hitting the ball a little bit when McCullers came out, and I think that could be an issue over 7 games. I'm just not sure you can hide a lot of that stuff by the end.
Well, it's so funny, though. I mean, look at who they – McClanahan, and now they're starting a kid that was in the Olympics this summer in game two, and yet they're unbelievable. And so I guess you don't need two horses at the top.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, you know, to go back to my old school days and sound like an old lady, but, like, I mean, remember 05, like, everybody – or 04, everybody remembers, like, Andy Pettit, Roger Clemens, Roy Oswalt. It was Roger and Roy, and Andy Pettit was hurt. I mean, he had surgery. And you're piecing it together with, you know, Brandon Backey and Pete Monroe. And, you know, Pete ended up being the game 6 starter in the NLCS, which is why they didn't win the pennant. But you can ride those couple of big guys and then just kind of patchwork it together. It's fascinating to me because, like, the days of, like, needing, like, 4 strong, you know, are kind of in the past. I mean, if you've got a really strong bullpen, I mean, we know these guys don't pitch more than 5 innings anyway. That's just modern day baseball.
Are the Rays your favorite in the AL?
The Rays are my favorite to win the AL pennant. Yeah, for sure. I don't know that the Boston Red Sox are going to win a game. The two teams that played in that wild card game, neither one of them are good teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, that was the shame of the Blue Jays just missing it. That was actually the best team of the four that were trying to get in. You know, Mariners caught a little, you know, magic dust, I think. But Yankees and Red Sox are not good teams. They're just not. So that's it, baseball, right?
I think you could make an argument if you, and we're not asking you to span across all sports, Allison, but when we think of football, basketball, and baseball, I don't know that you could even remotely come close to finding a team like the Rays with the payroll they have, the amount of injuries they have. I mean, quality pitching that's out with Tommy John injury, out for the year this year, that could do what they've done. You have low payroll. You have, they're doing it in a manner which the A's, the Billy Beane A's, always thought, okay, this is what Moneyball's all about.
Right.
Here's a team that's doing it, but they're doing it with injuries, which should just completely eliminate you because you don't have the horses. And yet, I think the Rays are probably the greatest example of building through intelligence and building through just supreme evaluation talent in any of the three sports. It's probably the Rays.
Yeah, and they don't make mistakes in their draft. They don't make mistakes when they trade for a player. You know, they traded for Willy Adames. Let me make sure I'm getting this straight. Anyway, whatever they do, it's like so calculated. And it's so, I'm trying to think of the player they got back from the Brewers, but I can't right now. And it's just like, you can't have like a bad draft or a mediocre draft. I mean, they really just nail it. And yeah, it is pretty remarkable what they're doing. And they're very shrewd. It kind of rankles the people that like observe baseball and write about baseball and spend their lives, you know, studying this stuff. Because, you know, some people will tell you that it's not okay that they're able to do this with a low payroll. You need to be paying players to play baseball, which I am in favor of, by the way. But they do it with, you know, 7,000-10,000 people in their ballpark every night.
Well, their Archer trade was unbelievable. Unbelievable what they got back. And for a guy that's been terrible. So,
yeah.
I mean, so that's they're doing it right. And now that's why the Astros went and got James Click. And guess what? The Astros doing it right from here on. We really appreciate you being here. We got Dell coming up next, Jeff Bagwell at the bottom of the hour. So we got that. We're talking Astros baseball today. Allison Footer with us here, MLB.com. Thanks for hanging, Scrunchy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Allison Footer right here. If you want to bet on your Astros, I know where you can do it, at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Look, if you're looking to play and win and get paid, you know, if you put a little something on your Astros yesterday, you win a little something. That's what I'm saying. If you don't put nothing down, you got nothing. You got nothing risked, nothing won, nothing gained. So if you're looking to have some fun, you love to bet on football, you love your college football, you know your college football, you know your pro football, you love baseball. What else do you want to bet? I mean, because you can bet on everything. It is unbelievable. Horse racing, you can do it right there. Casino gambling, you can do it right there on the site. You want to bet on religion, you want to bet on politics, it doesn't matter. There's always a bet. It's unbelievable.
Heaven or hell, 115 either way.
Right. Right.
That's a tough action.
It's a minus 115, yeah. Well, you got to pay the juice, too. Don't forget. So if you're looking for a great way to win, get paid, and oh, by the way, they'll match up to $1,000, whatever you deposit, right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, promo code BET975.
This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
918 ESPN 97.5. You better. This conversation's got to change, okay, with you two. Del Aurale is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you see the picture of you with the sombrero and the...
And the mustache, yes. The stereotypical Mexican look on me, yes, yeah. I saw it.
Well, you're Aurale. So Aurale.
Uh-huh. Can we start with this? What kind of unprofessional operation are you guys running here? Look, I'm getting bumped for Jeff Bagwell, which I don't really understand. But if you're going to bump me for Jeff Bagwell, how about you tell me you're going to bump me for Jeff Bagwell?
You did.
No, you didn't.
What do you mean?
No, you didn't. I found out by listening to the show. Oh, Dell's on at 9:15. What?
Oh,
what?
Oh, well, what? John, we're supposed to have a measure of professionalism now?
How about
how long have we been doing this?
Hey, text the guest. Let him know.
No,
that's what you do.
Screw the guest.
Okay.
So, what do you think of our Cougs now?
I think they are handling a schedule they should handle. The Tulsa win was impressive because of what Tulsa has done. Now, Tulsa's not winning any games, really, but they have pushed Power 5 teams like Oklahoma State and Ohio State. The Cougs, I mean, the schedule is not exactly murderer's row, but handle it. Win some games.
They're covering.
Yeah. That's your thing. The biggest.
That's an indication of how well you're playing.
Their issue, really, throughout Dana's tenure is, hey, win some games. How about you do that? And they're doing that this year, which is the only thing you can ask of them. They're playing what's laid out in front of them, and the Texas Tech game is just one they're going to think about and go, what do we do in that second half? We should be 6-0 right now, feeling really good about ourselves. And they probably feel really good about themselves right now, but they could be like in line for a pretty special year. They have SMU at home. I think they have Memphis at home as well. The schedule lays out kind of where you have your toughest games at home, but being 5-1 after what a disaster last year was as far as the cancellations. And really, you think about the Tulane game. Tulane is where the downturn started back in 19. Remember the drop touchdown pass? Days later, we have Derek King redshirting, and the talk of the nation was, Dan Wilkerson's quitting on the season. You can't do that. You can't tank in college football. And so it was good to kind of maybe get exercise some demons back in that same stadium.
Yeah. Because that was a brutal, brutal, brutal loss for the team. What do you think of Cincinnati? Is it a playoff team?
Why wouldn't they be? If you look at the rest of the country, I mean, it's Alabama and Georgia, and then you can put 8 teams in a bag and say, depending on the day, that's a playoff team. Sure. I mean, the schedule lays out for them where they have SMU, I believe, later in the year, and that's the only ranked team they're currently scheduled to face. So the schedule isn't great for them. So what they have to hope for is Notre Dame continues to win and SMU continues to win, so that game means something. I think it's the second-to-last game of the year for Cincinnati. They play SMU, but as of now, you're going to tell me that it's what Oregon's a playoff team? I know they beat Ohio State, but then they do what they did against Stanford. You can't say they're not. They, particularly if Notre Dame continues to win, the resume will say they have a legit win on the road. And if Notre Dame wins out or loses only 2 games, that's going to be a top 10 team. So that would be a top 10 road win.
Yeah. So they need Indiana to play well, too.
Yeah, that would help. But I think Indiana's a team they can't bank on. I think they have to hope for SMU to play well. That doesn't help them. That doesn't help the Cougs. They have to face SMU. But if you're Cincinnati, you need SMU to be probably undefeated by the time they see each other.
I think I certainly want to protect Alabama versus Georgia as a national championship game by all means necessary, without question. With that said, because I want the best team.
Or do you have some beneficial thing going on?
No. I don't want a game at the end of the year, and I don't think it will sway it. But if Alabama beats Georgia or Georgia beats Alabama, the loser, that should still be in the Final Four.
Well, we'll see.
Unless things change. Yeah. Unless things change, they should still be in the Final Four and playing each other. My question, though, is about the Big Ten, because if the Big Ten wins out, they're in. And there's a few teams right now in the Big Ten. It starts with an elimination game coming up on Saturday between Penn State and Iowa. How do you like that game? And who do you think from the Big Ten right now is built to be competitive in a playoff situation?
I think the simple answer is Ohio State to your second question, considering what
may not be in the mix.
Yeah, they only have the one loss to Oregon, so if they went out, they're going to get in. And they've fixed some things on defense now, certainly not facing the toughest competition since Oregon, but they've simplified things. They haven't done it in name, but they've demoted Kerry Coombs, the DC at the time, against Oregon. They're playing less single high safety, playing two safeties back, just trying to keep things in front of them, testing teams. Hey, if you don't hit big plays against us, we don't think you can go down the field against us, and that's kind of worked so far. But as far as Penn State and Iowa, it's rare that you say the opposing offense needs to play keep away from the opposing defense, but that is what Iowa forces you to do. Iowa's in their games against ranked opponents or undefeated teams, I throw Maryland in there, 14 turnovers forced. That's against Indiana when they at the start of the year, Iowa State, in Maryland last week, they forced 14 turnovers. I haven't seen Iowa play anybody when they weren't, like, feasting off a turnover. So if you're Penn State and Sean Clifford, don't give the ball to Iowa and see if they can actually move the ball against you, because Penn State has a pretty good defense. But see if they can move the ball against you without the advantage of turnovers.
I think it's another low-scoring game.
Yeah, that's in Iowa City. But if I'm James Franklin all week, I'm talking about ball security. Don't test them. If you have to throw it away, we'll punt the football. Our defense is pretty good, and we don't think Petrus – can move the ball against us.
What's the next best game?
I mean, I don't like crediting Joel with anything because it just makes me feel bad when I do. But he called it the Pretender Bowl, the Ole Miss-Arkansas game. Which one of those two teams responds from their ass kickings last week?
Yeah.
Those games, we talked about them last week as potential games that could kind of upset the apple cart. And Georgia and Alabama are like, no. Well, no. Georgia may be the most dominant force in college football right now. Their defense. That's a team that they just have dudes that they'll physically beat the hell out of you. They're fast. The clip from Shane Beamer is the one you just go back to, the South Carolina coach. What do you mean schematics? They just got a bunch of five stars, fast and physical. But if you're talking about Arkansas and Ole Miss, can Matt Corral be patient? Last year, he threw 6 picks against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And that was the game coming off the Alabama game where they put up 48 points, and people are like, man, look at how Ole Miss did. Look what they did to Alabama. Then Arkansas said, we're just going to play our cloud coverage. We're going to drop 8 and see if you can be patient. He could not. That should be the lesson learned from Matt Corral this week. Be patient with Arkansas. We've seen Arkansas not be all that, you know, they're not all that explosive. So if you can keep the ball, and if you go methodically down the field, I think Ole Miss wins. That's the home game for him.
I don't think Ole Miss is a pretender. I think Lane Kiffin played the game like people play it on Madden, where you just say, why would I punt? I'm going for it every time. Because Lane Kiffin basically played the game like, we know that we cannot hold up defensively throughout the game against Alabama, so every close fourth down situation we're going for because we want to play to win. This is the result, though. When you do that, they hit you at 21 quick, and then you're dead in the water.
I think a more pretender because people thought, could they challenge for the SEC? And clearly, they're not at that level. Now, I'm not saying Ole Miss is a bad team. They may go on to have a really great year, but you see a difference between Ole Miss and Arkansas and Georgia and Alabama. That just because of years of recruiting and resources. Remember, Sam Pittman and Lane Kiffin are in the infancies of their coaching eras at those two schools. Saban's been there since I think 08 or 07, and certainly Kirby Smart's been there a little bit too. They're just young in their progress.
That's Del Orale.
That's not how you say my
name. It is. No, so I saw it spelled, and I saw Tommy Stark.
So let's be clear about this particular appearance. Oh, not only did you shorten my time because you went long 1,000-footer, you bumped me because you didn't tell me about Jeff Bagwell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so short.
But John
and
mentioned it on the air.
Yeah.
He didn't mention it to me.
Well, but it was on the air.
We were
out
disrespectful
there.
To you.
Yeah, it was out there.
A little bit.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
It was out there.
All right. Something new today. We were disrespectful to Dell. Okay. All right. Beat it.
Can I get a plug?
Jeff Bagwell.
Yes, let him have his plug.
Oh, yeah.
The Two Deep tomorrow with Fred Davis will be back, Sports Map Radio. Listen to us as we talk about all the games going on in college football. Also, Respect My Decision, my podcast, uploaded this morning, 8 o'clock published, so listen to that as well. Don't listen to these two. You know what? I don't like when you guys have a lot of guests on. I'll tell you that right now.
You know?
No, because I enjoy you clearing your throat, Lance being off mic for, you know, the first part of his statement. And you know how...
What are you talking about?
The other thing is, I enjoy when you talk to Aaron for the first couple minutes because it means Lance is out of the room. I know that trick.
Yeah.
When you go to Aaron.
Well, we have to use the bathroom. It's 400 yards away now.
How many minutes can I delay before we get Jeff Bagwell?
He's trying to kill off Bagwell.
And one more thing.
He's trying to kill off Bagwell's spot.
Beat it.
Nice try, Del.
Time for Site Jab is what we're looking for.
Sitejab.com. Site Jab is a full service web creation. It's a web design company, but they're a full service company that does, they build websites, they can help you create leads through branding and identity, video production, lead generation, social media management. They add e-commerce, and of course they're all doing that with a brand new website that they're going to build from the ground floor up for you. And so if you have problems with gaining traction with your website, gaining engagement, or maybe you just have been someone who has relied on, you know, the success of word of mouth, but you're starting to find that things are changing and you're starting to see more competition in your space of what you do, then you need to get with the times and have a website that is built and designed to keep people engaged in your site, to put your best foot forward and to give people a look at everything that it is that you do for them with your business. Small and medium-sized businesses need to consider SiteJab here in the Houston area for over 2 decades. Give them a call, 713-874-9698, or go to SiteJab, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.
at the wall, jumps, and he makes the catch!
The Houston Astros and Chicago White Sox square off in Game 2 of the American League playoffs.
2-2 pitch, high fly ball, deep right center field, Robert back, angle back, Robert looks up, and it's gone!
First pitch is today at 1:07. Hear every single pitch of the Astros postseason on your home of the 2021 World Series, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is what we do.
Experience the excitement of Houston Astros playoff baseball right here on ESPN Houston. Game 2 against the Chicago White Sox starts today at 1. Now back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, you can listen to it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Being joined right now by Hall of Famer Jeff Bagwell, joining the show to talk about that game yesterday and what's going to go on today. Bags, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well, man. Let's start with, man. Okay, so today's lineup is already out. He's got Chaz McCormick in center field. Myers was so good. It's a you know what? He wants to make sure that everybody stays and gets in. But, man, I don't know. Would you ride that hot hand of Myers or put McCormick in today?
Well, I'm not the manager, so I know that Dusty's going to go with both of those guys. I think Chaz is a real good fastball hitter. I think Myers is a real good fastball hitter. And Chaz is a good low ball hitter. So you got a guy today that's going to throw fastballs, but his one of, you know, the two other pitches, his changeup and his slider, probably even out for both of those guys. Who's going to be the right starter for us? And I guess Chaz is the guy today.
Jeff Bagwell with us, Hall of Fame Houston Astro here. And you had a great seat. You always do behind home plate, watching the bats do their thing. You know, this has been a team, Jeff, that that has had some problems with runners in scoring position here at times during the year, and they get into a little bit of a funk. Yesterday, it seemed like every time they needed a clutch hit, they stuck it on the board. I want you to talk about that mindset of when the ball gets rolling downfield, when the snowball starts to roll, how that can impact an entire offense.
Well, if you look at our offense, we're deep. There's really no easy out, so just we keep coming. If you look at that, you know, at the end of the second inning, you know, all of a sudden we're rolling back into the top of our lineup. It's a very deep lineup. A lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. You know, I think we led the big leagues in average, or at least the AL in average, on base percentage. We get on base and we keep the line moving, as they like to say. And they're relentless. You know, they just keep coming. There's power, there's speed, and there's all kinds of things that we can do out there. And, you know, there are certain times during the year where your offense is going to go a little stagnant. And what I was excited about is we were a little stagnant the last 2 weeks of the season. And then I felt like that we were going to come together. And, you know, we still haven't even had Bregman hit yet, and he's going to start hitting. Got a hit last night, which was good. But we just keep coming. And, I think only good things are going to happen for us.
Jeff Bagwell here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bags, this is unbelievable how good they were against all the best teams, and they were mediocre. Again, they were just average against the bad teams in the league. And yet, every year, it seems, and we saw it yesterday, there's no fear in this team. It doesn't matter what the situation is, who they're playing, who they're up against, they come through. This team is they need wheelbarrows, this team, for the last 5 years now.
Well, yeah, they've been there, they've done this. You know, and our guys, you know, when the playoffs start, man, we just roll. If you look at last year, you know, we were under 500, made the playoffs, and made it all the way to one game away from the World Series. There's something different about our guys when the bright lights turn on, that they just come up big. And that's infectious. You know, when you got guys like Correa and Altuve and Bregman, McCullers, guys that have been there through the battles, it certainly helps the younger guys that haven't been there. And I think, you know, their whole thing about a team that pulls for each other, and they do, and they're fun to watch, they're fun to root for, and, you know, it's really going to be exciting what they can do. And, you know, you talked about not playing well against the teams that were lesser as far as average goes. It's just one of those years that that happened, but I certainly like for them to play better against great teams, because that's who you're going to face in the playoffs.
No, absolutely. So we've been debating this, Bags. I can see Crane's side. I'm not giving out a 10-year, $300 million contract. They haven't worked out for the most part throughout baseball. I mean, you name the good one. Name that good, big, long deal. And yet I can understand Carlos, too. God bless if he can get that. What are your thoughts about, you know, they have never, Crane hasn't handed out a contract over 5 years, and he doesn't look like he's going to. How about that concept?
Well, if you talk about the business of baseball and what salary caps are and what you can lose if you go over the salary cap, it makes sense not to do these massive deals. That being said, you know, I listened to Jim's, you know, his comments yesterday about Correa and stuff like that, and, you know, he's not going to be out of this. I mean, everybody loves Carlos. Don't think for one second that we don't love Carlos. It just got to make sense, and, you know, hopefully we'll see what happens during the offseason, but we're certainly not out of this.
Yeah, there is a difference between, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, meaning that Lindor contract, the Tatis contract, and doing what's right by your team philosophically to maintain a sustainable model so that you can win at a high level over time. I mean, emotionally, we all love Carlos. But I understand, Jeff, the concept of it's one thing for a player and an agent to try to get the best deal possible for themselves. That's understandable, too, on that side. But on the team side, if the model is we want to be the Braves of the American League and have this thing lasting for the Patriots, you know, for God's sake, last for as long as possible, there has to be a model in place, and you have to have the discipline to stick with that model even through painful departures.
No doubt. I mean, I don't think you can say it any better than you just did. And, you know, that's what we're going to have to look at when the season's over. And who knows what this year might bring. You know, we got a month here where we're going to figure out, 3 weeks to a month, where we're at. You know, we win the World Series. Who knows what's going to happen? And, you know, those are conversations that we'll have at the end of the year. And like you said, everybody loves him. I mean, nobody has to sell me on Carlos Correa. And not just his ability as a player, but the leadership that he's shown. He's really grown up right in front of our eyes. And it's been a pleasure and a joy. And I love watching the kid play, man. And he can play some shortstop, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my goodness. He's unbelievable.
I want to let Jeff, speaking of growing up, Jeff, I want you to listen to Jeff Bagwell with this Hall of Famer, Houston Astro. I want you to listen to what Lance McCullers, speaking of a guy who's grown up, listen to Lance McCullers talk about what he's done from a growth standpoint.
Well, I'm much more of a pitcher now than I was in the past. You know, I feel like I have the ability to fill up the zone with multiple pitches. I have the ability to attack different quadrants, whereas maybe in the past I really didn't. You know, I had a curveball and a fastball. But, you know, my ability to throw changeups for strikes, I'd mix in the cutter, you know, to lefties when needed. The sinker-slider matchup today, I could really see them, you know, trying to stay away from that slider, which opened up the sinker. So it's just one of those things. It's that cat and mouse game. It's guys who I've learned from over the years. You know, one of the guys on the other side, Dallas being one of them, on how to you know, navigate, how to break down, you know, lineups and go after them. And no one's probably helped me more than Martin Maldonado. It's just someone that's been huge for our team and me personally in my career.
Jeff, how about the growth from thrower to pitcher that you've seen from Lance McCullers from the time he came up in 15 to where he is right now when you hear him talk about his approach now?
Well, yeah, and that is growing up. And, you know, nobody wants, you know, that's the thing you see a lot today is you see a lot of throwers. You know, they want to light up the radar gun. They want to spin the ball as much as they can, but yet they walk guys. And then they throw the fastball right down the middle, and they wonder, oh, I shouldn't throw a fastball because it got hit. Well, you threw it right down the middle. I don't care. You throw 200 miles an hour, guys are going to hit balls right down the middle. Lance used his fastball yesterday. Great. Everything he throws moves. He's very cerebral, really is. And the only thing sometimes that gets him in trouble because he is so cerebral out there. But when he pitched like he pitched yesterday, that's what an ace does. And Lance has seen that. He's seen aces. He's seen Verlander. He's seen Cole. He's seen guys like that, how they go after guys. And I think Lance has really done that. You saw accumulation of that yesterday. Just a great ball game he pitched. I felt like he was never really in trouble. He just dominated. I know he talked about dominating the strike zone, and that's what he did yesterday. And when Lance goes out and doesn't walk anybody, that's going to be a good outing, I promise you.
No, yeah. Well, and you in the last few years, you've lost Verlander, Greinke now, because he's in the bullpen, and you've lost Cole, you've lost Springer, and yet this team maybe is good. But I asked Allison Footer this, if they're good enough at the top of the rotation, going into this thing, Lance McCullers might have been one of the last aces of the last game one starters that you would have chosen, and yet that performance yesterday says, wait a minute, he may be up there with those guys. Do they have enough at the top of this rotation to go far?
Yes, they do. You'll see Framber's going to be the same way today. If Framber throws strikes, he's going to dominate people. And I think that's the most important thing. With the stuff that these guys have nowadays, you know, if they throw strikes with our guys, they're going to pitch well. And the one thing I always say about this postseason with our starters, they are going to give us a chance to win. I promise you that. They throw strikes, don't walk, guys. They will give us a chance to win.
You told these guys, this is you guys. What you guys are doing isn't real, right? it's unbelievable the success that these young and they've done it. Most of the guys were here and they were young players when they were doing this. Can you believe what these guys have been doing for the last 5 to 7 years?
I can, and the reason why, first is talent. You know, their talent is off the charts. You know, since I've seen all these kids come up, they have the talent. And part of being a big leaguer and part of staying around is refining your craft. As far as our pitchers, you know, they know it's imperative to throw strikes with what they have, to put the ball in play with the best defense in baseball, and that's another stat that's proven. And these guys work real, real hard on their defense, and we play great defense behind them. And when they do that with the stuff and the God-given ability that they have with the coaching staff, they're going to be successful. And if you're around these guys for the last 5, 6 years, it's a team that just pulls for each other. It's not very often that you can walk into a clubhouse and like everybody. Sometimes there's cliques and all that kind of stuff, but it's not. It hasn't been like that. You know, everybody gets along. Everybody roots for each other. Everybody picks each other up, and it's been really a pleasure to watch. It's very exciting for me. It's really kind of rejuvenated me in baseball just to come back being an older guy and watch what they've done.
I'm going to ask you one guy. Pick one guy on this team, pitcher, reliever, starter, left field, second base. It doesn't matter who. Pick the one guy that you would have loved to have played with on your Astro teams. If you could pluck them and pull them back in time, who would that be?
You know, they're all my favorites. You know, I mean, I love Maldi. I think Maldi's a great team player. You know, he knows that his most valuable thing is his arm and his catching. And what Maldi does for our pitching staff has been unbelievable. He's tough. He gets them in line. What he does behind the plate, controls the running game. I mean, I had a hell of a seat to watch him throw the runner out yesterday in the second inning. So, I mean, I can't give you one. I mean, I love them all. It's fun to watch. And each one brings something different. You know, the game's different now, obviously, you know, the way we go about it as far as our celebrations and all that kind of stuff. But I've gotten over that because everybody else does it. So I just enjoy it. I enjoy watching them, and I enjoy each and every one of them.
Would Lima have been a good pitcher? I know Lima was a big fan of yours. He was a friend of our show. And all we ever talk about is, man, Lima would have fit in great with this Astros team, the amount of fun that they have. I think he would have fit him in great in baseball now.
Yeah, he would have. His slide on the mound and all that kind of stuff, and his demeanor and the way he went about it, he would have had a blast with these guys now. And you know, he did that, you know, with old grumpy guys like Beige and I around. But you know, Lima was great because even the same thing with a lot of the guys now. You know, you might walk, you know, throw your bat or do whatever, but the pitchers might do something. I don't think that people get, you know, as upset about it as they used to. And Lima would have fit in perfect for that.
You know, when we were talking the other day, I asked you, how does Lance Berkman not even get a second year on the Hall of Fame ballot? And you had an interesting answer.
Well, I have no clue. If you look what Lance has done in his career, I think I told you he's the top three hitters I've ever played with was Jeff Kent, Moises Alou, and Lance Berkman. in no specific order. Those are guys that can hit anybody. They hit when it mattered. They're the kind of people that Lance, not as much, but you know, the people that go 4 for 4 and they line out after their fifth at bat and they're slamming stuff in the dugout. They just never gave away at bats. And Lance, he was so good hitting. You know, I used to make fun of him on his right-handed swing and all that. And then one year he went out and hit like 295 right-handed, so I couldn't say anything to him anymore. But just a special gifted hitter that had a career. If you just write his numbers down and look at them, you go, how does this guy stay off the ballot? You know, there's some guys in the Hall of Fame that don't have those numbers.
No, absolutely. It's silly. So how many games are you going to do next year?
Probably 10 again. I don't know. You know, I know, to be honest with you, I got more people telling me they like when I do games. But, you know, if I do too many games, you know, I'd rather be on the field than do that. But I enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. I try and give the fans, you know, something to laugh about. I make fun of people, and more than anything, I make fun of myself. But, and then when I talk about baseball, I try and put it in layman's terms that people can understand it, because baseball nowadays gets so skewed on numbers that, you know, for me, I talk about it all the time, that make no sense to me. I don't know what expected batting average is or expected ERA is, because here's the deal. You are what you are. Whatever shows up on the board, if you're hitting 180, you're hitting 180. Now, I don't care how hard you're hitting 180, because that's what you look at every day when you walk up the home plate. So I just try and make it so the fan can understand how a player thinks about stuff.
Yeah, no. And I like when you make fun of Blummer. We remember him when he had blue hair.
Yeah, he did. He changed it all the time.
He did.
He had the best arm ever as a second baseman when he had to play for Biz. So he was a great player, great teammate. I totally enjoyed my time with him.
I think I speak for everyone that we really enjoyed watching the second career, I don't know how to explain it, but the new life of Jeff Bagwell, watching you move forward, getting to hear you and see you in the analyst chair, what you bring to the broadcast, watching you behind home plate, having fun and being part of it. I know it's been pretty cool for a lot of athletes.
Yeah, and how much are you working with the guys, Bags? I mean, is that a daily thing with you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I spend a lot of time with our GM and our owner, trying to make us better than, you know, what we are. I mean, down the road, present time, or down the road. Unfortunately, I can't get in the clubhouse for the last 2 years because of COVID, but I do text a lot of the guys and have conversations with them, talk to our hitting coaches and stuff like that. So I enjoy it. I kind of laugh when you say that, enjoying my time behind home plate. George Springer texted me yesterday and said, you know, you might want to smile every once in a while behind home plate. Okay, man. I said, I'm grinding behind there. I'm grinding just like I grinded when you were here. I'm thinking, and I'm in the at-bat with everyone. I mean, it's just I can't get that out of my system.
Great stuff. Hey, Bags, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us. Yeah, right, congratulations, guys, on everything that's been going on for you.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thanks, there's Jeff Bagwell right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. All right, we're up against it here, and I think you're probably going to have to combine here. Let's talk a little, and hopefully we'll be able to say goodbye to you before we go. Texas Star Grill Shop.
Star Grill Shop, they're having their one-day sale. That's going on this Saturday. That's the it's going to be next Saturday, I should say, the 16th. So you're about 8 days away, and the sale is going to be all day long, and it's at all four of their locations. So all four of the locations are going to have this great sale. Smoking hot savings on the top grills around. And don't forget their Battle of the Grills. That's going on tomorrow. Bragging rights were a couple different types of grills. The Pit Old Country Barbecue Smokers and Traeger are going to battle against each other for the most coveted Texas bragging rights, the best barbecue. So you can go check that out at their Greenbrier and Shepherd home base right there off 59. And take advantage of that. There's going to be some great food out there, and customers that come between 1 and 3 can sample the delicious food. But once again, if you're thinking about getting a new barbecue pit, make sure that you circle the 16th on your calendar. Next Saturday, they're going to have sales all day long at all four locations. For more information, go to TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Go, go, Astro. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Gross. This song is gross.
That's stupid.
This song is gross.
No.
We can use more than one Astros song.
No, there's one Astros song. It's All Systems Go. And, oh, by the way, Tyler played it yesterday.
And they won.
And you haven't played it once today.
Yes, I have.
You played All Systems Go?
I played it coming back in the first segment. And I'm playing it to end the show.
Oh, well, it wasn't memorable. You didn't do it memorably. Okay.
Memorably. Hey.
That's your memories problem.
We have 1 minute to go. How about 18 NBA players were arrested for, they were like making false claims, and apparently the
insurance fraud
and dental fraud,
$4 million worth.
The FBI, well, including Big Baby Davis is one of them, but the FBI, you know what they did to track them? They got information from the cell phone providers, and they used their GPS data where they were when they were supposed to be getting, one guy had, it was $48,000 worth of dental work. It was eight like crowns and every wisdom tooth and something else. Like, no dentist would do that much work at one time.
Well, and two other guys put down the same day they did it, on the same day as that guy.
Stupid ass.
I mean, if you're gonna
you know who would have never done that? Odd Jobs Incorporated.
No.
They would have been much smarter.
If you're gonna have insurance scams.
Speaking of that, Headache Smith, my buddy GJ had told me about, you remember the Arizona State point shaving? It's out now. It's a limited series NBA documentary where like five or six different cheating moments in sports, and Headache Smith is number one. The best. He goes through him and the guy who really set the whole point shaving scandal at Arizona State up, and Isaac, the two guys. It was Headache Smith and Isaac. I can't remember the guy's last name. They called him Ice. Three guys, and they're interviewing him the whole time, and he tells you exactly how he laid the bets down, how he tried to stay under the radar, how he turned $5 million into $2.5 million. Headache Smith talks about how he shaved the points and what he had to do, and it's really fascinating.
Gotta watch
really
it.
It's fascinating. On Netflix? Yeah, it's on Netflix. All right. Just came out, yeah.
All right, we're done. Charlie Polillo is next. Game one, you can hear. Game one. Game two, you can hear right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cars for Kids?
Hey, good. I was just thinking about what I would want to do. Like, what piece of junk would I want off my property? I don't have any, but if you do, and Cars for Kids is fine with me talking this way, so don't worry. They say, yeah, if people look, the reality is there are vehicles, cars, trucks, motorcycles that just don't run anymore and that aren't functional. And you're not going to get trade-in value. You're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get anything for this. And then it's going to cost you to haul it off. But guess what? This is your lucky day, because Cars for Kids will go in there and they will haul your vehicle off. They'll give you a $50 Visa gift card if you mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5. And on top of that, they are going to give you a tax write-off, so you can write off the car and not the kid. Look, for some of you, this is just about having stuff hauled off your property, and you feel like you're doing something good. You are going to help the Houston Can Academy, who helps give kids a second chance at the diploma, but you are going to be able to write off the car and not the kid. Have them come out and pick up that car, truck, or motorcycle from your property. It's carsforkids.org. Have a great game two, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
Is all systems go. Astros are on track with every crack of the bat. We love to hear that whistle blow.
All bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.